Welcome. That was my clap. I clapped, kind of. Welcome to episode 24 of Video Games Are Hard. I'm going to get my stress ball. Trey's here. Welcome, Trey.
Hi, I'm Trey. I'm going to get my fingernail clippers I play around with when we record these sometimes.
I have my stress ball. We're all cool. We have a guestless show. Every other week we have a guestless show. Hello, we're here.
Hey, so it's just us.
I have news. I have stuff to talk about. I have five things.
I have no clue what these five things are, but when he mentions them, I might be like, oh yeah, that thing.
Oh yeah, that thing. One of them is just going to be like, you've mentioned this before, you know?
Oh,
but
I have?
I'm going to complain about it
or
again.
Or you have?
Me.
Okay, let's hear it.
Well, it's not yet.
Oh, yeah, okay. The most important thing first, right?
The first is the most important thing.
Of course.
We did cover early on in our podcast history the fact that we were participating in the 2v2 lockout tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
That ended today.
Oh, it did.
Yes. That is the most important news of the SMS sphere. Actually, no, there's two pieces of news in that sphere. One leads into the other, though.
That is pretty important.
So congrats on to the victors, Danny and Ramato. Who's surprised?
Woo!
I'm not surprised.
Wait, was it them versus Outflaker and Guy?
Yes.
I've been so out of the whip. I apologize.
Dude, same. Me, like some Rasmus was in my chat while I was playing Tetris today, and he's just like, oh, the finals is on right now. I'm like, oh.
Dude.
Yeah. You just get out of the loop, man.
This happens every tournament. It gets less hype. It's the SMS tournament paradox, and I'm assuming it happens with other speed games that have these sort of things as well, where it's most hype in the early rounds when it's just like the best team versus the worst team sort of deal. And then as the tournament goes on and the matches are objectively better, the hype dies down because once people are out of the tournament, they start to not care as much. So it's like, it's unfortunate that it's like that, but yeah, that's how it goes.
Trey and I were legit just talking about just in general doing commentary after we got knocked out, and we just like have not paid attention.
I just totally forgot that tournament was even happening for the past few weeks. I've been so busy.
I could have sworn it was over. If nobody said anything to me today, I was just like, oh, it wasn't over. Oh. But it's over now, because Guy and Oat were, everybody was putting them a first seed. I knew people were wrong.
Well, okay, they lost finals. Like, that's not...
They lost winners. They were in losers.
Mm-hmm.
And then they lost in grands. So they did come second. So they're the you and I of this tournament.
They did the exact same thing as we did last tournament. That's true.
Yeah, except for they probably performed a lot better in grand finals.
Well, yeah, the standards are higher now. You got to actually be smarter and actually
hey,
prepare
no,
ahead
we
of time.
We were good. We were good last tournament, except for the finals.
Yeah, we Our were killing it against people like JJ and Quan. And then in the grand finals, we just weren't feeling it that day, and we shat the bed.
Yeah,
pretty hard that day.
So that tournament's over. Because I checked it yesterday to see who was on commentary. It ended up being Bri Guy and not Nurgish, Larvitar. It was Bri Guy Larvitar on commentary.
Okay.
I was just double checking that. So that's over. And there's been an announcement within the SMS realm.
Oh, I did
you
actually
probably
see
know this. About it. Yes. There's an SMS stock event.
Stonks.
Stonks. You can it's like the SMS draft. I don't remember if we were recording the podcast during the draft. Were we?
No, this was well before the podcast. I can explain what the draft was really quick.
Go for it.
So JJ came up with this SMS fantasy draft thing last summer. I was one of the five captains. It was me, Paper, Guy, JJ, and who was the fifth one?
SB.
SB Lectory, thank you. And essentially, we would draft a team of four other players based on how much we think they're going to improve over the next 3 months. And basically, it incentivizes improvements over really good times. At least it tried to be balanced that way. It wasn't perfectly balanced. And also the 120 shine rules were kind of weird. But anyway, you would recruit people. Let's say like you recruit someone who has a 127, any percent PB. If they improved to a 123 during the 3 months, they would gain points for their improvement from 27 to 26, 26 to 25, and so on to 23, and get that many total points. But you get more points depending on the minute interval that it's cut, in addition to how many minutes it is. So it's sort of like two factors, quality and quantity. It's pretty fun to sort of like predicting who you think is going to improve the most. Our team got last place. Sid, the team Sid was on, got first place. So
I didn't carry my team. I was about to say I carried my team. I clutched it out.
That was super clutch. I can't even deny that.
Yeah. I got sub 116.30 when it started doing half minute intervals.
And, yeah, literally in the last week, Sid was on Guy's team. And let's be honest, Guy did just. He went in.
Well, it was what? Me? It was Guy, Calf, me, Ramado, and Samurai Man. And Samurai Man didn't play or barely played. Calf didn't play.
Calf literally didn't play at all.
And Ramado got like a similar PB to me, but he had a better time when he started.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't get as many points as I did.
So you actually did the second most amount of work.
I did, but only in the last 2 days or 3 days. I did 3 days of runs at the end of the event, and within the last hour, I got the run that won it for our team.
You literally put off doing runs till the very last week, and it actually worked out.
Yeah.
I don't know how you did that.
You know what? I did not think it was going to happen, but you know what? I clutched it out. Guy's team won. Perfect.
And Guy alone got more than our entire team did?
Yeah.
Because for those who don't know, Guy went from a 307 to a sub 3 in a 3 month span, which is just completely insane. That's really, really good.
Yeah, I only played any percent. I was not willing to learn 120 for it, but Guy just. 120 was broken in that draft.
And also, the point system for it was different than all the other captains thought that, like, JJ intended it to be. So it was actually worth way more points than we thought it was. Because basically, when we set it up, it was formatted like, oh, you get 1 point for getting a time in the range of, I think it was 320 to 325. But what it actually meant was you get a point for every minute in that interval, not just one for the entire interval. So that was actually 5 points if you cut all those minutes, whereas I thought it was only 1 point. So I thought, oh, 120 kind of sucks. I'm going to ignore that. I recruited 0 120 runners and see how that worked out. So,
you know what? You barely. There was one runner you could debate was a sunshine runner.
On my team?
Yeah, on your team, Emo.
What? What is this meme?
I'm just consistently shitting on Emo. It's great.
There's so many levels of sarcasm in that comment. You have no idea.
He knows how to play the game.
Yeah.
somewhat.
I also recruited like Dobby. He's from Spain. He's really good. He's really good at ILs. He's not as consistent as some players, I'd say. But I figured, like, oh, at some point he can just, like, pop off and get a really sick time. Sadly, it didn't happen during that draft, but he has improved since then. Emo wasn't ever motivated to play, so that didn't really work out too well.
Yeah, he was the calf of your team.
Basically, even though my team didn't do so hot, Chetty did pretty well. Same with JP Powell. They got some PBs. Although JP Powell literally could do anything and get PBs. So.
Yeah, true.
So despite that, I'm just glad that I got a PB, because during that draft I actually got in the low 115 threshold from a high 115, which is a decent bit of points, but also a pretty good PB for that time. But yeah, basically that was the draft, and now we're doing this SMS stocks thing, which is similar to it.
Yeah, it's eerily similar. There are no team captains, so everybody is their own team captain. Every person has 1,000 imaginary dollars. I think anybody can really participate in this. So if you join the SMS Discord through speedrun.com and click on the announcements tab and click the Google Doc links, you could probably participate. I don't see any reason why you couldn't. It starts recording this tomorrow, so it would have started on Sunday. And yeah, it's interesting. Everybody gets 1,000 imaginary dollars to invest in whatever SMS runners they want that are on the board at the very least. Everybody.
No, I think it has to be a sub 125 or better runner.
Yes. Everybody has to be, every person that is viable to be, have money spent on their stocks is sub 125.
Yeah.
So, it's interesting. there's a lot of people to choose from. I don't know any of the people sub 120, really. Like, I don't know. Well, it's interesting to look at the boards. 120? I guess above 120, yeah. But like below on the boards.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's interesting looking at all the value picks and everything, but everybody's going like, oh, this person is a good value. But I have no idea what potential is for people below that time. It's just, I have no idea. Like Tego, like there are a lot of people that could do really well if they played.
Yeah.
So like, I'm not going to buy a Trey stock.
Oh no, don't buy my stock.
Trey's not going to play. Like there are value picks. I think your stock is like $50. I could look at it right now. And wait, like Shadow Mario is around that.
I didn't fully read the whole rules. I just kind of assumed it was similar rules where it's like, oh, the money goes up more if it's a bigger PB. But how does it work exactly? What are these value picks you're speaking of?
Well, like every person, value of your stock, every runner's stock value is based on like potential, where their time is at and where they could get to.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's all based on like weird potential. Like I'm a $78 stock pick. So I'm like kind of okay. I'm like in the middle of everything. Like Urinal Mike is like a value pick cause he's like $40, but I think he could get a lot better where he is.
Oh, so you're like, is that much, how much money you're spending on that stock?
Yeah.
Okay, I get it.
And I'm just looking at...
I should probably open this up because I'm just talking out of my ass right now.
The best value of stock will be set at $75, apparently. I'm at like $78. I'm tied with Reed. My value of stock is tied with Reed, which I think is really funny.
Where are you looking at this value thing? Is it leaderboard?
It's.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at it.
I had it open. Before, I just don't know exactly where it is.
So
table of,
are you talking values. About what the current stock value metric means?
I don't know.
I'm so confused right now.
The formula for calculating runner stock's value goes as follows: base value times activity modifier times PB potential modifier plus PB improvement value. I looked at this on stream with Ramado in the chat.
Okay, yeah, I don't know what the fuck's going on. You're gonna have to explain this.
you buy a stock, all right? Uh-huh. So it's just basic stock. Like the value and how it's calculated is kind of convoluted. Actually, it's right there, but it's weird.
Wait,
I don't know how to really calculate that.
Is it like real stocks where if more people buy that stock, it goes up in value?
I don't think that's gonna be part of it. I don't think people buying it will affect it, because then the people at the end of the week would be like really fucked up.
So it's a predetermined value for each person.
Yeah. And if their PB goes up, then it affects their stock during that last week. So it's like a weird thing. Like it's a weird thing because this is going to start on Sunday and it's going to go until like Thursday or Friday.
Wait, how is this determined? Is it like arbitrary?
I don't know.
I'm looking at my activity modifier, 0.7. Yeah, pretty accurate.
I don't know.
0.7, dude. That's the lowest one I see.
I can't even remember where the stock values are. I remember I found them, but then... Because they have the leaderboard, essentially, and all the cost values of the runners beside
stock
them.
Stock analyst? What the fuck is going on? That spreadsheet's so funny, man. I love it.
But yeah, so that's happening. It's basically the draft. You're investing in a runner that is going to make every month you can like cut somebody from your team, sell the stock or whatever. And you have $1,000 to do it. You earn money. You can cut them after they earn you money, I'm pretty sure. And then have that money towards another runner. Ouija is really high up there. I think he's like $120 value. You can buy a max of $300 of stocks per runner. Nindide is like $140 because he's active again, and people think that he's like impending for a PB's impending.
Dude,
and
Nindide each second being is the worth highest money. Value stock makes 100% sense.
I think he's the highest value. JJ is pretty low considering he's like $74.
It's only because his potential isn't as high because he already has such a really sick time.
But like Ouija's way up there too.
Luigi's also a god at everything, so I mean.
But like, I think JJ's probably the best buy. One of the best buys.
Honestly, yeah, I would buy JJ over Luigi just based on value alone.
Yeah, and like Urinal Mike's at $40, but he's at a 119.03, and he can definitely improve that.
But honestly, Luigi, JJ, or Diddy could all get 113s anytime. It's just a gamble who gets it first, or at all.
And I've been telling, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know if I should tell people to buy stock in me or not.
I never looked at like the full system layout till now. That's kind of funny. It's like the value based on activity and potential. But like, all those values were determined by like a team arbitrarily, right?
I get it's run by Urinal Mike and Ramato. I guess they decided.
They just like went through every single person on the leaderboard and were like, okay, they're this active and they have this much potential. Boom. That seems pretty hard to do, especially for like some of the like JP runners and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, how do you know? Do they check Nico constantly?
Why am I only 0.81 above you for activity?
Because you play 96 shines. That doesn't count.
Yeah, but like, if I was supposed to play any percent, why wouldn't
I
play any percent?
What I want to know is, how can you have more potential at PB than me? Fuck you.
Fuck yeah. You know suck. What? That's right. No, you suck.
No, actually, I totally agree. Because if you just play more, you can get a 115, I bet. No problem.
I'm just a Tetris
especially
player now, man.
Considering you got your 116 on NCSDU.
That's true.
Like, come on.
That's also true.
Dude, that's actually low-key... I shouldn't say this on the... You know what? I'm going to keep it secret. Never mind.
I just don't... Like, I know who not to buy stocks for. What I was going through... Like, the first time when I was going through this, I just know who not to buy for. Because Shadow Mario, I don't know if he'll be... He's playing the game. I think he's streaming right now as we're recording this. He's playing the game. I don't know if he'll be behooven to play any percent. But, like... He was talking about after the bingo tournament retiring, but he's still like kind of active in meme categories.
Shadow Mario, he tweeted recently being like, oh dang, I forgot how much playing this game actively really affects my health. I don't know if I can keep doing this. It's unfortunate that
keeps so I know up. I know I don't think I want to buy stocks in Shadow Mario 27. I know I definitely don't want to buy stocks in Trey.
I like how Shadow Mario has a higher never mind, I'm looking at the wrong metric. Never mind. Okay.
Jakul has a low value. I don't know why Jakul has a low value. I guess he's playing.
He doesn't really
Fortnite.
Play anymore, does he?
It's just like the people that are really high up that could definitely improve from where they are to a better, really good time are just very inactive. It's interesting to look at everybody with potential because like Samurai Man could. I don't know how much he can improve from where he was, and he's not really playing. Reed has been trying all the time, but he sucks.
Our previous guest, by the way.
Yeah. See, I'm not going to say this on a podcast with Reed.
I don't fully understand all these activity modifiers. So, like, Nebulad, who is one of the super active Zoomers, I thought, only has an activity modifier of one. Or I guess, like, only Luigi and Diddy have 1.3 activity. I guess to get a 1.3, you got to be streaming like 10 hours a day constantly, right?
Well, yeah, that's what Luigi's doing.
That's pretty much what they both do.
is Diddy actually also doing that?
Diddy is streaming a shitload, from what I can tell.
Hmm.
I don't think as much as Luigi, but definitely multiple hours a day.
Rasmus says that he's a good value. I don't know. I don't know anybody that has a time slower than 120. I don't know. Like Tago could definitely come and try to improve his time, but
see,
I don't think that's going to happen.
The key issue with these things is that the activity modifier sort of balances that, but you're just banking on some of these players actually deciding to play. Like on my team in the draft tournament, or the fantasy draft, I asked Emo beforehand, if I draft you, will you play? He's like, oh, hell yeah, man. He didn't play at all. Oh, so, yeah. I mean, sometimes you don't have that motivation. I mean, I don't blame you, Mo. Sometimes you just don't want to play. So.
I'm just looking at all these times. I don't know who has potential, but it's like Papachino has been improving. He has a 122 now.
And he has an activity modifier of 1.2. He's one of the most active people, apparently.
Yeah, he's been streaming SMS a lot.
I admire the dedication to go through and check, like, on a spectrum how active every one of these players are. That's a lot of dedication.
But yeah, I have no idea. At this point, I don't know who to pick. Like, Dobby seems good. Trey, I'm not going to pick. And
well, Dobby didn't work out so well for me last time, but he might pop up this time.
That's kind of all I know. But you have to pick. You can buy however many at the start, and you can sell and rebuy at the end of the month. And then it goes for 3 months. It's going to go until July. So it's the same breadth of time as the draft. I don't know. It's just an interesting thing.
If I started streaming again, I wonder how many people would buy my stock. It makes me wonder.
I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like a cool idea. I like how it's much more inclusive than the draft. Like, the draft was pretty fun to do those, like, intro and conclusion streams and looking at who the five captains pick and whatnot. But being able to, like, for anyone to pick anything they want, that's also really cool. So.
Yeah, it's going to be more, like, because we had, like, Rats figured out how to do a fantasy draft. I don't think a lot of people did it. I didn't even figure out what mine ended up, my point value at the end of the draft. Mm-hmm. If I hosted a team, like, what would my team look like? I think Sero got me some points, and Sero was probably a good choice for this, too. So yeah. I'm looking at that, too. But it was just, like, immediately announced after the bingo. I was streaming the whole time. The bingo tournament ended. Ramato announced it in the SMS Discord right after he and Danny won the bingo tournament. And then Rasmus was just like, oh, there's something in the announcements tab. And I just looked at it on stream and I was like, oh, this is weird. Like, you earn money by, like, based on the second. It's not minute intervals, I don't think, anymore. It might be by some amount of seconds that you improve, because it's dollars now rather than.
Oh, yeah, like, that's good. Because, like, at a certain level, it's really hard to, like, pass a minute or even, like, a 30-second interval. So every second being money makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, like, when I got my 116.20 to clutch out the win for Guy, I got the run before, I got a 116.50, and that was my PB then, and I thought I got points for the next minute interval or something. Mm-hmm. Or I didn't get points for sub 117.30 because it was not 30-second intervals yet, and I thought I got points for it. But then when I went down to 116, I got some points, but not enough. But sub 116.30 ended up being value, so it ended up being kind of confusing. But now that it's actually valued based on how many seconds you save, it's going to be more interesting, I guess. To see just like, oh, he PB'd by 2 seconds. Oh, instead of shrugging it off and it not mattering at all, it actually matters. So it's cool. That's an interesting SMS thing.
I can see why they didn't include 120 on this.
Oh yeah, that's not a thing.
Because how the hell would you balance activity and PB potential on that?
they did not want to balance that. That'd I was just like, where's 96 shines? And they're just like, no. And I you know what? I respect it.
Activity modifier 2.
I wonder if there's going to be, like, a world record modifier as well.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like,
we'll
with
see.
This. Like, if Ouija gets the record, or Dide takes the record from Ouija, or JJ gets the record from Ouija, I wonder if, like, added value is given, but I don't know. Who knows?
As a final remark, with all the madness going on in the world, you know, real-world stocks, they're going way down, but the SMS stocks, with being locked in... Up. Might be on the rise, folks. So check it out, y'all.
Yep. Paper stocks.
Check out those paper stocks. I guess I'll link the spreadsheet in the description.
Sure.
May as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what the hell we're talking about? This all sounds confusing, and we're saying all these activity modifier numbers and stuff, but you can look at it for yourself. So. And even maybe participate if you want to, because anyone can do this, I guess.
I guess. I don't actually know, but that sounds right. Why wouldn't you?
Anyone can be a
thousand
stonk
imaginary
analysis
fake dollars.
Or stonk analyst.
And the reward is VIP in the SMS or the Sunshine community chat. That's the reward.
Oh, yeah. Don't like so top three, like, get VIP in there.
Yeah. It's not like a super big investment.
You don't get the actual equivalent in real money to the amount of money you made, right?
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's just fun.
That's how it is.
What do you got, Trey?
I guess I'll throw out something that people probably care about. Piana 6 world record history video. I'm making progress on that, even with Animal Crossing distracting some of my attention. Last week I had 22 minutes done. Now I have, I think, close to 25 minutes done. I got a lot more done in the past week than I expected to, because actually, I am on, or today was day 8 of a 16-day-in-a-row stint I have to go to work. And I can explain why that situation happened. So
that's a lot of,
basically,
a lot of time.
While many people who are in the workforce are on their, what me and Sid like to call, multi-week snow day, I'm kind of getting the opposite effect, because unfortunately, well, to preface this, the reason I am working is because I'm in what's considered an essential job. It's the food industry, so that has to stay up as much as possible. I work an essential job, so I have to go to that. And there's one area, so I do quality assurance, and there's, I'm one of three people who can work a particular area of that lab. And so one of those people around a week ago actually got a fever, and she wasn't tested for the virus, but as a way to play it safe, she was said to like stay home for 2 weeks until April 6th. And she was the main person who works that particular area. So I'm covering all her shifts, which is like, okay, that's cool. You know, whatever. Same amount of hours, just working that area instead of where I would have worked otherwise. But then, and this is a very Kansas thing, but also a much more serious issue with the other person who can work there. There was a cow incident. But it's actually, it sounds funny, but it's pretty serious. So one of my coworkers sort of lives on a farm. I know it's Kansas, shocker. Very Kansas issue here. And I guess her husband got trampled pretty seriously by one of their cows and like broke a couple ribs.
See, that's not funny.
Yeah, so you feel like an asshole now, don't you?
Well, you did. You said it was a cow incident.
I know. I wanted to like have some comedy relief and then get serious again. No, it's very tragic, and because of that, she has to tend to her husband for the next week. So basically, what that means is because we also work weekend shifts in this job, I'm covering a solid 16 days, including weekends, of that area of the lab. And I'm only halfway through it, boys, so home stretch.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been crazy. And also, like, business has been slowing down. Actually, despite the fact I'm working so many days, I actually got off halfway through a shift today, which is unheard of. There were, like, essentially no samples coming in to test. It was really weird. And I'm thinking maybe it has something to do with coronavirus affecting customers and they're not able to get their samples to us. Which could be an issue, because then maybe we wouldn't be in business in the near future. I don't know. It's crazy what's going on out there. But that's basically that. Basically, because of working extra, it's been harder to get progress done on the video. On top of Animal Crossing being new as well. I've been playing that. But I guarantee you 100% the Piana 6 video will be out in April. I only have like 5, maybe 6 more minutes worth of stuff to edit, so definitely in April sometime. I'm pretty excited. It's turning out really well. I've kind of gotten over that hump of looking at the video and being like, this is stupid. Why do I sound dumb here and I nitpick everything. Now I'm kind of seeing the thing as a whole and saying, okay, this is actually, I'm pretty proud of this. People should enjoy this. So I'm pretty excited.
You know what? I think we're all excited.
Yeah.
Judging by the fact that how many week updates have there been of the Pianta 6 video?
I don't know. This is just how I roll. Like, I could never be a full-time YouTube content creator. As cool as that sounds, there's, to be a content creator full-time, you have to put stuff out on a regular basis to sort of stay relevant. Yep. But I tend to treat it more as a passion project. And really put my, I only start a project when I really draw inspiration to do so. And I pour my heart and soul into it, make the video as good as I can. And just go from there. And it's just a passion thing that I do. Like, I don't know if I could treat it as a job if I wanted to.
I just looked into an alternate universe where Trey is a constant, consistent YouTuber.
A consistent content creator.
Yeah. And he's reacting to TikToks. See, he's just sitting on YouTube. Every other week he puts down a TikTok reaction and he's like, you guys are my heart and soul. Thanks for watching. Leave a like and subscribe.
Leave a like and describe.
describe this video.
Describe
to your
experience of this video.
Yeah. To show all your friends.
And
I'm a great
and hit the
TikTok
bell
because
subscribing doesn't do jack shit on YouTube anymore. So
yeah. So do that. And I enjoyed that universe. I just saw that universe. I enjoyed it.
So the question is, would you rather have Trey release a new any percent or a new, sorry, quota?
Any percent.
Would you rather have Trey
any
release a new
world record history?
Serious history video of some sort every year to year and a half? Or a new TikTok reaction video every week?
You know what? It's the cards are up in the air.
Who knows? I feel like there are some people. One has way more quantity, so.
There's a lot of there are a lot of TikTok videos, you know.
There are many
and sure
many things to react to in the world.
Yeah, and sure there are a lot of people that react to TikTok videos on YouTube. But you know what? Trey could be one of them.
I might start doing it. Add my own voice, my own tone. Really,
yeah.
Really change the game with the TikTok reactions. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know what. I'm really interested in how Trey spins that.
But you know what? If my current job sort of fizzles out because of the all COVID going around, which I'm pretty sure it won't. Actually, so far, there's been no reported cases in my town. That being said, there could be people could have it that haven't been tested yet. So still want to play it safe for sure. Anyways,
yeah,
that was
safe.
The Piano 6
everybody wash
update.
Your hands.
Wash your hands. Yes.
Yeah. Everybody wash your hands.
All right, I guess back to you on your next list of things to talk about.
I have many things to talk about. We've gone through three of my five listed things. That's all I have. I only have five. I've been streaming this week. I've been playing Tetris. Because, see, what's funny about me streaming Tetris, the only reason I'm streaming Tetris is because, or playing Tetris at all, is because Reed mentioned it last week. But like, During the Reed podcast last week, he was like, I miss your Shadow Mario, Super Mario Maker 2 streams and your Tetris streams. And I know he listed Tetris as just like, what other game did he play other than Sunshine? I know he didn't care about my Tetris streams.
No, he genuinely wants to see you play Tetris.
No, he doesn't. You know how many times I've seen Reed in my stream during my Tetris streams this week?
Maybe he's lurking.
I know that he wasn't. He wasn't like, I miss your Tetris streams. He just wanted to listen to another one. But you know what? It got me thinking about playing Tetris again. And you know what? I've been streaming instead of Sunshine Tetris this week. And it's been nice. It's just been chill. Hanging out. People have been there. Playing Tetris. I got like 8 wins one day. It was fucking sick.
I actually lurked for a little bit today, but I didn't say anything. So I kind of, I pulled a headcanon read today.
I played like shit today, so I'm glad that you were
here
today.
I'm glad I was a good luck charm for you.
Yeah, I played like utter garbage, but I got 2 wins. 2 wins is fine. I got like a couple Invictus mode wins entirely, which is interesting. I just want to complain about Invictus mode right now.
Go for
it. And I think I've already complained about Invictus mode on the podcast. So Invictus mode in Tetris 99 is the win a Tetris 99 mode, and you get your essentially ticket into playing Invictus mode. It's just it's the winner's circle.
It's the cool kids
Tetris
club
99.
Of Tetris.
You play against people that have won. Like, that's the bare minimum. Only one game though. I even when Invictus mode was released, I thought it was dumb. I was like, only one win.
Even I can
like,
be
legit.
Invictus.
Only,
I've only won
win.
Like 3 games ever, I think.
Yeah, and you just get a you get to be in this game, which is fine, I guess. But I think Invictus mode is stupid. Because whenever I play Invictus mode, there's sometimes as little as 18 players in the game, 18 human players. The most I've seen this week is like 38, which in comparison to Tetris 99 is like nothing. And they fill the rest of the spots with bots. So it's at most 38 players. And so, which means that there's what, 50 or 61 bots? So you're playing against 61 CPUs that are really difficult, to be fair. I have seen a CPU win twice in Invictus mode against however many human players. Like, the top 10 is all human players, and then that's the ultimate slap in the face. Like, top 10 is all human players, and then you just wait to see who wins just to for shits, just like sitting there relaxing, don't feel like immediately playing another game. You see a CPU win, and you're just like, what the fuck?
Dude, it's Skynet, dude. AI is getting smarter.
They're really good at Tetris. These bots are really good at Tetris.
Watch
but
out.
I think it's stupid. I think it's stupid that they're playing. I don't understand. Like, it's not like Tetris 99 is dead. Frenchie came into the stream the other day and was just like, oh, this game isn't dead. It's not dead. Tetris 99 filled with people.
Implying Tetris as a concept ever dies.
Yeah,
Tetris is dead, guys. No one plays Tetris anymore. Right?
Everybody hates Tetris. But, like, Tetris 99, you can queue up for the regular game. It gets you in within, I don't know, like, it's pretty much insta-queue. I think the slowest queue I had was maybe 10 seconds, you know? But in Invictus mode, you're waiting for a max of 2 minutes, and you get 30 players, and it's just trash. I think Tetris 99, and I know, like, not Nintendo isn't listening or anything like that, but they...
But Nintendo, if you're listening, listen up.
They have... Tetris 99 suffers from having too many modes, but it only has, like, 3 modes, which is insane. So it's like the Call of Duty issue where it has too many modes and they just cut it down to whatever amount. Because they have... In Tetris 99, they have Team Battle, which was, like, recently an event that people played during, and now it's just as dead as Invictus. And it's just, like... It's just a different way of playing Tetris 99. It's like you have... However many people on your team, there's 4 different teams, and you try to be the best team in the end. That's it. And so that's basically dead. And regular Tetris 99, always booming. But Invictus is so fast. It's so satisfying. And, like, the issue with Tetris 99, the regular mode of Tetris 99, is that it's just slow. It's so slow getting into... some place that matters. Like, top 10 is the only thing that really matters, and it takes so long to get to top 10. And the only time that... Pardon me?
You're just too good now.
Yeah, it's just not as fun. Invictus mode is so fast right off the bat, and if you screw up, it matters. Like, early game in Tetris 99, if anybody had been watching my streams this week, like, I can mess up in the first however many... before however many people are eliminated, and it just not matter. And it kind of sucks. So it's just boring. I think if regular Tetris 99 was Invictus mode speed, I would be so happy, because the reason that Invictus mode sucks is that nobody plays it. And the reason that Tetris 99 sucks is that it's too slow. So if they... I know they can't make it so that it's Invictus mode speed, but it would be so nice. But the only way to make Invictus mode, and I thought of it this week, and I was like, that's the only way that it makes sense. And I might have thought about it before, but they need to make it scarce. They need to bring it back. They need to not have it accessible all the time and then bring it back for, like, a weekend Maximus event or something.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause nobody's playing. Like, it's just so pointless being there when nobody's playing it. And it's just so sad. Like, going, queuing up for it, it's draining. You're just, like, sitting there, it's just, like, 21 people, 22.
Especially on stream, people are, like, waiting, and you're just sitting there.
It's, like, 25 people, great. And it's, like, a two-minute queue at most. The best thing about Invictus is that sometimes you get a short queue. That's the best part of Invictus. That's the best part of the Invictus queue. If you just luck into a late queue, even if it's like seven, I've had as little as 17 people in a game. So it's just however many bots, like 82 bots.
What's funny,
literally
what's
82
funny
bots.
Is that 17 is still way more than you could ever do in the past, if you think about it.
Yeah. But what sucks is that I was never good when Invictus mode was, like, popping. So I've never actually seen 99 players in a game. Probably first week, people were just like, fuck yeah, fuck. But I sucked. I was still like I was getting wins in Tetris 99, but whenever I played Invictus, I was getting stomped on. But now that I'm good, nobody plays it, so it sucks. What was my whole point?
That Tetris is not dead, or you're playing it, or
yeah, I'm Tetrisin. It's nice. It's a nice replace. I have not been playing Sunshine. I've had zero.
Hence your activity, whatever.
Yeah, hence my activity. But that might be towards any percent. But I did like a 96 modifier. Shine run. I did like a 96 shine run a week and a half ago. But
that doesn't count.
God, I hate Invictus mode. Ugh. Oh, well, it's so good.
You did start it's playing so Tetris again the same week Animal Crossing came out, which I'm sure a lot of Tetris players are playing that game now. So
true. But even back a few months ago when I was doing the daily challenges, I was playing Invictus and it was the same kind of thing. Like nobody really plays it. It's you forget about it while you're playing it. Like when you queue up, you're just like, well, I'm facing 30 CPUs, 20 CPUs, or not 30 CPUs, 30 humans, and the rest are CPUs. But then you forget about it while you're playing because it's so fast. Like it's so satisfying to play because it's like it actually matters if you screw up or not, even if you're up against bots. But then at the end, you're reminded again, it's like, oh, they're all bots. Or like the top 10 is usually human beings, but mm-hmm. it just takes something out of it. Not that it like affects gameplay at all. It's just not as satisfying for sure. So I don't know. Whatever. Tetris 99. It exists and I'm playing it. And I do enjoy myself some Tetris nowadays. I used to not be a Tetris kid, but now I play it. We're all cool.
I bet it's really easy to dual queue in that game now.
Actually, like Onsley missed queuing with me a few times, but it, like if you type down or if you count down in chat, it's pretty easy. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's not as alive as it used to be, Tetris 99, but you can definitely get like it's basically instant queue every time. Like the most you have to wait for a regular Tetris 99 game is like 10 seconds, maybe.
Yeah,
and then you're just waiting for the game to start. The queues are so fast, but then you just have to wait until it actually gets fast or you screw up. Screwing up sucks. It's really, really not. It doesn't make you happy because if you die before like top 40, you're just like, wow, I sucked. I sucked so bad.
Oh, that's Tetris.
Speaking of Tetris, so we're gonna leeway to the other piece of news from this week.
Okay, let's hear it.
From my Tetris complaining, there is other Nintendo news. Animal Crossing came out. Trey's going to talk about that in a sec. But there was the Nintendo Direct Mini that happened.
Wait, really? I didn't see that.
There was a Nintendo Direct Mini that I didn't even hear about.
This is the first time I'm hearing about it.
Until the next day.
I feel so out of the loop recently. Goddamn.
Dude, legit, I didn't even know. And you know what? You know how I'm on top of the loop. I'm trying. I'm always staring at this loop.
Above the loop, dude.
Yeah, and this Nintendo Direct Mini came out, and there's like some advertisements for the definitive edition of Xenoblade.
I think I might actually get that because I've always wanted to try Xenoblade out, but never really got around to it.
I've never been a Xenoblade guy. I know Reed. If I was talking about this last week, Reed would be like, "Oh my God, Pyro's the best."
I gotta see what Reed and Pyro Shade are ragging on about being so good. You know?
So they talked about that. There's some other games. There's a game called Good Job that I'm kind of that I at least looked at the price of. I was curious enough to turn on my Switch and go look at the game, and it was like $30. And I'm like, I don't know.
That's like pocket change in Canadian dollars.
Yeah, but it's I don't know. It seemed like an indie game. Like $30 for an indie game doesn't really sound.
It seemed like an indie game, or it wasn't an indie game.
I don't know. I don't. It's called Good Job. It's just like a puzzle game.
It sounds like an indie title, but who knows?
But that game seemed interesting. I just like jumped around throughout the whole thing. They announced the most important thing, or the only thing that I really heard echoes of on Twitter. It's not like there was a pile of. It's not like there was a huge shitstorm or anything. Nobody was really mad, but I heard that the next fighter in the Smash Ultimate Pass, they announced it.
Yep.
It's going to be an ARMS guy.
There was a huge shitstorm about ARMS being in the game.
I did not hear. I heard like little peeps of shitstorm. I didn't hear the whole shitstorm. Do you know more about the shitstorm?
This is the one thing I've heard that I apparently came from that direct. Like, I didn't hear about the direct at all. I heard about the ARMS thing though.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be an ARMS guy. They didn't announce. They announced that they're pushing back. They're extending, like the ARMS guys. They're extending the arm of the release date.
Nice.
That's how they played it in. I was just like, oh, okay, whatever. I don't really care. I'm not buying this fucking character.
I stopped caring about characters in Smash so long ago.
But I bought all the passes. Like, I bought the pass.
I bought the first pass.
I didn't buy the second pass.
Dude, I bought the first pass. Played Piranha Plant for like 1 second. And I was like, I'm so bored of this.
That's not even part of the first pass.
What? What do you mean?
Piranha Plant wasn't part of the first pass.
Wasn't he like the first new character?
He was the first new character. He wasn't part of the pass.
What is this pass you speak of?
Did you buy the pass? There was like a five character.
Oh,
Smash
is this
Ultimate
like
pass.
After the initial thing you get with the game?
Yeah.
Then yeah, I didn't buy that.
Okay. It was like, I don't remember how much it was. It was like $20?
Or wait, oh no, that is what it. I got. I got, I technically have access to the other four, but I haven't played it since then. So.
The whole thing, the way that I look at the passes now that all of the first five came out, I was just like, the only character that I could debatably care about was Banjo and Kazooie. I'd like, maybe I'd never played the game. Like, people like it. I don't have any nostalgia for it. I'd never played it. But sure. Like, it's in the ether enough. Like, it's in the zeitgeist enough that I'm like, I'm kind of interested in playing them or buying them or whatever. So one character was debatably good enough for me to buy the pass. So the way I'm looking at this second pass, which has six fighters coming out, I don't know if it's this year or within the next year or whatever. Just like, I'm waiting for somebody, or I'm waiting for a character that I'm interested in to see if I want to buy the pass. That's the way I'm looking
at this
pass.
Should've done.
And you know how they're not getting me? With fucking ARMS. I'm not gonna buy the six character ultimate pass because they put an ARMS character in it.
They had to know that being the first example wasn't really gonna appeal to anyone.
Well, everybody's still pissed about Byleth, or a lot of people are
I'm
happy about Byleth.
I'm a bit biased, but I think Byleth is my favorite of the five in the beginning.
somebody actually asked that on. In one of the podcasts.
Yeah, that's true. And I think I stated, it's interesting to actually be somewhat excited about a Fire Emblem character before playing Three Houses, when just looking at that and be like, oh, another Marth clone, you know, whatever. But now I'm pretty hype about it. That being said, I understand choosing Byleth because he or she is like the main avatar protagonist. But like, I don't know. He's such a blank slate of a character because it's just sort of, he's a mute protagonist.
Or she.
What? He or she. Sorry, it's so hard
or
to say
she.
It every single time. basically, they could have, I would have rather they chose any other character, maybe like Dimitri, even Edelgard, or Claude, like one of the three lords, or like any like students in the class. I mean, Byleth, it makes the most sense for he or she to be the one that's actually in the game, but like, I don't know, man. He or she has no personality. So,
but all the characters you mentioned, they're all background characters. So it's basically the same.
Background characters.
Yeah, they're on the Fire Emblem stage. They're in the background, like the Terry.
Oh, are they?
Remember when Terry came out and they announced all the people that are going to be in the background? They did the same thing for the Fire Emblem.
Okay, I didn't even see that, so.
Like, Edelgard's in the background at the cafeteria, and...
Well, that's cool.
Dimitri's outside. I don't actually know the characters.
Yeah, like Byleth, it's cool. We kind of saw it coming, because they always... Ever since Melee, Smash was sort of a tool to promote Fire Emblem in a way. But
yeah,
on the outside, Violet just appears to be, he looks so much like Marth. It's like, okay, come on.
Yeah.
But it is cool that Violet does have non-sword weapons, like I'm assuming a bow or an axe, because he can use whatever he wants. So that's pretty cool. But yeah.
It is just really funny that how everybody can be like, well, they're going to use, they're in this fighter pass, they're going to put whatever Nintendo property they want to put into it in order to advertise. And then they put a Fire Emblem character and everybody's pissed because it's like the 17th Fire Emblem character. And then they put ARMS. It's just like, who the fuck is buying ARMS? Why are you advertising ARMS?
Fire Emblem at least had its following. Like, I'm down with that. ARMS? I don't think anyone really cares about ARMS.
I just want to see how many people play ARMS. Like, I'm waiting for the day one ARMS just to see what is up. Like, watch Eleven stream or whoever streams, like Nairo, if you're into Nairo, or and just playing the ARMS character, Spring Man.
Day one ARMS character analysis.
It's just really funny. It's just like, oh, they're going to use it to advertise. Oh, they're going to choose from their cool series. It's like, no, they're going to choose fucking ARMS.
You think that'd open up like a stronger pick to open up their six new characters, but nope, ARMS.
See, I'm not pissed about the ARMS character at all. Like, I just think it's really funny that they picked ARMS. I'm confused.
See, no, I think it's inevitable they would put ARMS in there. But I would say wait until later in the past, probably.
Well, right? That's what everybody has their way of strategizing what order the characters should have gone out. Like, Banjo-Kazooie being like third was probably a really good choice.
Yeah, that was pretty smart.
Or whatever. In the first pass, but like as the first character to set the bar for your second pass, you put the ARMS guy. What? Like that's a number two character.
Well, maybe they're going from like, worst to best. Who knows?
Like if the sixth character is Sora and people get super excited, I don't care about Kingdom Hearts. I don't care about Kingdom Hearts. I've never played a Kingdom Hearts game, but people seem to really want fucking Sora. So I don't know. It's just interesting as a former Ultimate player. I think I played 3 hours of Ultimate when Byleth came out. And after that, I haven't touched the game, but, as somebody that doesn't play very much Ultimate at all, it's just interesting from a bird's eye view to look at it all and be like, what the fuck? Like, why the ARMS guy? What? Yeah. Okay. Whatever. I'm not like on Twitter. I'm not harassing Nintendo or Reggie for no reason. I'm not tweeting
at
Bowser.
He's retired.
He's like retired. I'm harassing him on Twitter.
Reggie, how could you do this?
I'm not harassing Doug Bowser about it. I'm not tweeting it. Like, I'm not sitting like keyboard warrior going in and being like, what the fuck? I'm just sitting here being like, really?
Yeah, I'm just watching
ARMS
people get mad on Twitter.
I'll talk about it.
Dude,
I'll talk about it. It happened this week.
Speaking of Twitter, I don't know if it's just me. It seems like ever since the whole virus situation, Twitter's just even angrier than it used to be.
Yeah, they're fucking pissed. I mentioned it last week.
Every time I look at Twitter, just everyone's raging at everything. It's just ridiculous.
Everybody's just cooped up in their house, and they like it's the tweet that I referenced last week where it's the guy that wakes up and looks at their phone,
yeah,
and they want to keep some sort of normalcy, but their normalcy is like their scheduled look at their phone for 12 hours a day. There are people probably like that just wake up, look at Twitter for a while, and then like do one thing and then go to bed.
Okay, you know, this is, I just thought this right now, the most annoying lose-lose situation I've seen on Twitter, and I've seen it multiple times. It came up today, actually, with Mark Zuckerberg, actually. Whenever a super rich, like, mega billionaire donates to some charity or some cause, it's never enough.
Yeah.
There's always replies being like, that's only 0.04% of his net worth. What a ripoff. And it's like, people respond to those comments saying, just be happy it's $25 million. Like, come on, it's still charity. Then in response to that, you'll see, how do those boots taste, bootlicker? Every single time. And it's like,
yeah, it's fucking dumb.
If you support the billionaire, you're a bootlicker. If you don't support him, you're just spinning on him for not donating enough money, I guess. Like, it's a lose-lose. It just sucks.
Well, it's just like, it's the conundrum. It's like, well, if he put enough thought into it, why didn't he donate more? Because this is like barely any percentage, but he could have just done nothing.
Exactly. And it's like, you would actually not get as much hate had he not donated at all, which is super fucked up.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, oh, if he kept quiet and just didn't donate anything, nothing would have happened. But he donated a significant amount less than people expect him to donate to things. Therefore, people are mad.
And you'll see, so it's just, let's for example say you tweeted that, you would get 10 responses calling you a bootlicker.
It's an interesting conundrum.
That's the most annoying thing I've seen on Twitter probably ever, and I've seen it multiple times. So, yeah.
I just kind of stay away from that stuff. Favorite thing.
Twitter's just made to get an angry reaction from people and keep them on. It sucks.
I've been really liking the celebrity tweets as of late, where everybody's like really sad about being quarantined. All the celebrities are being really sad about quarantined. And then like Gal Gadot did the sing. What was it? It was the John Lennon song.
Yeah, Imagine.
They sang Imagine, and everybody's just like rip shit pissed at it.
That was so
dumb.
And then there was
a tweet yesterday of the brave. I'm trying to think of the phrase.
I don't know if I've seen this one.
The female celebrities tweeting out their like makeupless faces during quarantine, like going without makeup during quarantine. And then everybody's just like brave and strong or whatever. And everybody's sitting there going like, nobody cares. It's like, who cares? It's just really funny to see everybody just universally get mad at celebrities that are just like, yeah, I'm still important even though we're quarantined. But I did really like the makeupless one, because it's just like, oh, these, what was it? Brave and something.
I can't
remember the phrase.
What's the word? Independent, strong. Don't need no man.
Yeah, I don't know. It was stunning. Stunning and brave.
Stunning.
That's what it was. It's like stunning and brave. They're
sitting in your
brave
mansion, safe from everything. We don't have to work, you know.
And they're just like not wearing. It's like we're not wearing makeup and we're posting. And then everybody's just sitting there going like, "What the fuck? Why? Why are you doing this? Who cares?"
It's made me realize,
like, sitting at home.
I've realized from the whole debacle that the ideal amount of net worth to have, you have to find the richest you can be until people hate you for donating to charity.
Yeah, it's a hard place.
You're riding a fine line there, but yeah.
And then like if Bloomberg putting as much money as he put into for his very short stint in attempting to run
for
president.
Oh yeah, that was just embarrassing.
And then everybody's reporting on how much he put into that week and a half, 2 weeks in order to be viable for that one debate. And it's just like, yeah, he could have done whatever with this money. It's like, yeah, but he was running for president. I don't know. Like, it's really funny for people to look at those people and be like, oh, well, they could have spent this money this way instead. And it's just like, well, I guess there's no way to argue with this. But
the
just
funniest,
really funny.
Like, math fail. Maybe you've seen this too. Someone was like, with $331 million, he could have donated $1 million to every American and had money left over. And think about that for a second. just think about that for 1 second. I think you forgot to carry the million there.
Yeah. He could have given $1.
Yeah, it's actually just $1 to every American, but, you know, close
and
enough.
And you know what? They would have looked at it and been like, vote for Bloomberg, $1. You know what? When I was a kid, my parents got a $2.50 in Canadian.
Okay, that's
Tim
like
Hortons
nothing.
Gift card, a Tim Hortons gift card from their insurance company.
Oh shit!
And they looked at it and went, "What the fuck is this?" And you know who didn't vote for Bloomberg? My parents.
Damn,
that's the metaphor. But yeah, like I don't think if every American got $1 from Bloomberg, I don't think they'd be like, "Well, I got $1." Bloomberg.
They failed the mental math so badly. They thought it was a million to everyone.
I've seen that clip.
It's just, it's funny. Anyway, Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing.
Back away from politics, back to video games.
Sure. Well, politics as far as spending money.
Yeah. Speaking of money, Animal Crossing.
Yep, that's a, it's you a know game what, that's
where
a good
segue. You spend money in the form of bells, and it's really addictive, and Nintendo's cracked the code on holding your attention despite the game contents not seeming like much from the outside, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like I mentioned before, I think I was a big Animal Crossing fan. Played a shitload of the GameCube one, played a fair bit of the Wii one, and I guess I'll give like a really quick week one impression of the New Horizons game that came out. I've sort of changed my opinion on what I thought about I hate how they like slowly give you more access to stuff over time. That's kind of a good thing because there's actually a shitload of stuff in that game. If they threw it all on you at once, it'd be kind of overwhelming. Because like basically every day, almost every day, you have like a new thing to look forward to, assuming you're paying off your dues at a regular rate or rebuilding stuff at regular intervals. It's like, oh, tomorrow the town hall is going to be built and it's going to be under construction today, or you're going to have a bigger house, or there's going to be new neighbors and stuff like that. And, you know, I was mentioning how, like, the first day you have access to only a third of your island, then you get the shovel and a pole vault, and you get, like, two-thirds. Then finally you get a ladder, and you can actually walk on the entirety of your island after 3 days of playing. But that seemed like a bad thing from my my impatient initial day of playing. But, I mean, once you have it all unlocked, it's kind of like, okay, well, I was just being impatient. It kind of makes sense to, like, roll it out, you know?
Yep.
As far as the game goes, it's Animal Crossing. I mean, you got fishing, you got bug catching, talking to neighbors, watering flowers. My proudest achievement so far, I got pretty tech savvy with the Nook Link app. It's an actual feature of the Nintendo Online app that's tied to Animal Crossing. That's like it's super high tech. You can like scan QR codes on a website. I believe it's called acpatterns.com.
Yeah.
You can put any image you want into acpatterns.com. It'll convert it to the 32 by 32 pixel design you can make in the game. Scan the QR code for that, and it actually appears in your game, which is super cool. So I actually did, like, you can actually put multiple pictures together and make, like, a larger, let's say it's 3x3, like, 96 by 96 pixel design, essentially. So I made a giant calf point emote. And it's really funny. I put it at the very entrance of my town, right when you get to my town, like, you fly there, go on the dock, you see a giant calf point laughing at you when you get there.
Dude, I thought people were... When I saw your tweet of that, I thought you legit made that. And I was like, some part of me was so proud of you, but is everybody cheating?
It's not cheating.
Tobo, when he's making the cover art for Super Mario Sunshine?
No one's making shit, dude.
God damn it. Everybody's making
stuff.
So
the thing is, you can make your own design, and theoretically, I could make that entire picture pixel by pixel if I wanted to. That'd be super tedious. So instead, I put... my process was... put a calf point picture into a 96 by 96 large Photoshop image, and then take individual 32 by 32 squares from the image, put that into the website, make a QR code, get my 8 designs I need. Because actually one design wasn't needed because it was like totally transparent in one corner. Got my 8 designs, lay them on the ground in that order, and boom, you got a giant calf points.
You don't know how disappointed I am right now by all of this news.
The cat's out of the bag. No one's actually that artistically talented. So
I thought everybody was that artistically talented.
Okay, the thing is, it's not really art if you're just copying an image pixel by pixel.
True.
It's just making it 100 times more tedious for yourself for no reason. So
yeah, but now the respect has gone. down.
And I accept, like, that. I'm just glad I had my calf point, okay?
No, I enjoyed it. I looked at it, and I was just like, huh.
I also put an average W painting outside my house, so you know it's my house. Yeah, it's been fun. I've been going to some other of my online friends' towns. Nothing's really super developed yet. It's week one. I mean, after playing Animal Crossing more, you can really develop things. You get more houses, more villagers move in. If you want to, you can, like, go super ham and create a shitload of designs and make, like, a super intricate layout for your entire island. That takes a long time, though, but we'll see if I get to that point of dedication. I'm still paying off my debts. I have a 598,000 bell debt I currently am working on, I believe. It was 500 something thousand, but yeah. They get bigger and bigger until your house is enormous, so. That's Animal Crossing for you.
That's the Animal Crossing update.
I'm still enjoying it. I don't know how long I'll stay interested, because Animal Crossing comes in waves. I'll be playing it religiously for a month or two straight, and then totally stop for a few more months, and then come back to it, and the religious play comes back again. It's like Minecraft in a sense. I'm sure you can relate to that.
Yeah, definitely.
And yeah, I've been catching some rare fish. I caught a barrel eye, for those in the know. It's the one that's the same size as a horse mackerel, which everyone hates, but it's worth 15,000 bells, and it's super rare and weird looking. So,
have you only caught one?
I only caught one. That's all you need, though, to get to the museum. Yeah. So,
yeah, but you can't sell it.
It's true, but you know, I've got other means of making bells. I don't need that.
Is there a purpose for putting stuff in the museum?
Filling up the museum.
Is that it?
Yes, it's sort of a half Noah's Ark approach. You get one of every animal instead of two of every animal.
So is there a point to, like, maybe in the game, is there a reward for filling up the museum?
There most certainly is. There was in the GameCube one. If you get the entire museum filled, you actually get a museum model furniture as, like, a token of filling up the whole thing. It's a status symbol, essentially. And
so there's going to be some reason.
Yeah, and also the museum. Have you seen the museum, how it looks in the game?
I've seen bits, yeah.
It's, like, super detailed and just beautiful looking. I love how it looks. Like, the aquarium has these enormous displays. It's, like, super big compared to the GameCube one. I love how it looks. So.
Would it be better to see, this is probably how I would play, is if I would, like, get a valuable fish instead of donating it. Like, I'd eventually get other ones, but while I'm paying off debts still early on, why wouldn't I just use that for bells and then get another one
later?
See,
the thing is, there's no deadline on payments.
Yeah, but if you're trying to speedrun.
Yeah, if you're speedrunning.
Not really speedrun, but...
If you were speedrunning, unless it was 100%, you would ignore the museum entirely.
Well...
But, okay, I see what you're saying. But yeah. Certain super rare fish, like the barrel eye, for example, you don't want to use those as fodder for bells. There's other ways to get more bells quickly, like catching sort of medium rare fish in bigger quantities is more viable than that. The string fish has, like, the largest shadow possible, and it's only in, like, the mountain or, like, the hilltop region. Mm-hmm. So when you see that shadow, you know, okay, this is 100% guaranteed to be a rare fish. I'm going to get it. But the reason the barrel eye is so hard is because it's the same size. It's the second smallest shadow in the game, or, like, so there's six total sizes. It's the second smallest size. So it looks like nothing special, but then you get it. And, like, probably 19 times out of 20, it's going to be a shitty horse mackerel. But when you get that 1 in 20 or whatever the chances are, then boom, you're epic.
Why does everybody hate the horse mackerel?
Because it's worth, like, jack shit and they're everywhere. Okay. Actually, okay. No. I've always hated the sea bass more because sea bass actually has a huge shadow, so it deceives you. Like the horse mackerel, you see that small shadow, you're like, okay, I'm not going to bother with that. But the bigger shadows, you're like, that could be a red snapper or an olive flounder, or hell, maybe I'm seeing things wrong. Maybe it's some, like, super rare tuna or something. But no, it's a sea bass. So
the problem with everybody playing this game is they read way too much into the shadows.
No, the shadows do have set sizes.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much the biggest indicator as to what the fish is going to be if you know where certain fish are going to spawn.
Okay.
And that's why sea bass sucks, because it's the second biggest shadow size, but it's not worth shit hardly. So, but yeah, all in all, I'm enjoying, because there's so many things they've added to Animal Crossing since the GameCube one. There's flower breeding. If you like place two or more flowers together, they can produce rare colored flowers next to it, like with like a given chance of it happening. And it's just so many little details, and it's, I love it. All right, I love Animal Crossing.
I saw somebody on Twitter, I don't remember who, buying a sports jersey of their favorite football team that was just in the game.
Oh yeah, I've seen, like, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's just like, oh, this is a Chiefs jersey or whatever. I don't remember.
Yeah, it was a Chiefs jersey.
I don't remember who it was. But it's just like, they have all of the different, not, they don't have the logos, but they have the color combinations of
the color
so many
scheme looked
ones.
Familiar.
You know what? It seems like a lot more of a game than I knew when I stopped watching, because I haven't watched
it. You were judging it on day one, and day one Animal Crossing, this game in particular, like the older games, I feel like you had access to more features early on, which was a complaint when I first played it, but when they roll out more stuff to you, you look forward to those things, and it makes it more satisfying to get access to those things as a result.
Mm-hmm.
And furthermore, like, I still love the achievement system. I'm pretty sure it's the first game to do it. It gives you a reason to really go in on like a certain thing. It's like, in a sense, you're leveling up a random thing. Like, there's so many achievements. There's one for having, like, so there's like tiers to achievements. And for example, one is related to how many items you have in your storage in your house. And I believe at max capacity, your house can hold like 300 items in storage. Mm-hmm. And there's like an achievement for like maybe 10 items in storage, then like 20, then 50, all the way up to like the max storage. So to get that achievement, I have to fill up my storage all the way at some point just to get that achievement.
That's definitely, we were talking about, have you gotten the streak of 100 fishing in a row?
No, and it's really embarrassing. So one of the most notorious achievements that's in people's bonnet.
getting bees in their bonnets.
Bees in their bonnet. I knew that's how you said it.
I guess.
You have to catch 100 fish in a row without failing to get the highest tier of, I guess, I think it's called like the Fishmaster achievement. My very first, like, day one, I caught like 75 fish in a row without failing. Like, literally, I was amazing. Ever since that day, I've been, like, psyching myself out. Every time I'm, like, remotely close to the 100 again, I'll fail inevitably. Like, I'll just jump the gun and be like, crap, dude, I gotta start over. So, despite getting to 75, literally day one, I have yet to get the 100.
It's just one of those things. It's like, more so the storage one, but it's just one that you'll eventually get. You don't have to try to get the storage one. Eventually, you'll get the storage one.
Yeah.
But the fishing one to a lesser degree, but I feel like you just kind of eventually, it's how I looked at all the Tetris 99 icons, where it's just, I'm not going to try to target badges for 20,000 block or 20,000 lines of garbage or however many lines of garbage for other things. It just, if you play enough Tetris, you're eventually going to get it, except for like two icons I don't have.
And but most of the achievements in the game are sort of long-term play, like the highest tier of an achievement takes probably a few months to get, depending on what it is. Some of them not so much, but some of them definitely do. And the fish one I should have had already, but it's just in the back of my head whenever I'm fishing, I'm like, oh man, I've caught so many in a row without failing, I better not lose my streak. And then bam, I lose it. Like, crap, I lost it again. Once I get that damn achievement, I'm gonna stop being dumb when it comes to fishing, I swear. It's so annoying. I think that's pretty much all I got on that. I'm gonna keep playing. I'm not letting it distract me too much from the Piano 6 video. I've been dedicating relatively equal time to both those things, along with my multi-day work streak I gotta do. My whole schedule right now is just work, Animal Crossing, and video, and eat, and sleep. The five pillars of Trey right now, so. Oh, and yeah, podcast.
I've been very inactive regarding anything, because I'm pretty sedentary.
But not Tetris.
I've been playing Tetris, yes. So, the last thing, so that was the Animal Crossing update. We're cool.
We're cool with Animal Crossing.
We're cool with Animal Crossing. I have one last thing. I totally forgot about this one. There's the Twitch banning update.
Oh, yeah, I've been seeing that.
So, Twitch banning is revolutionized now. Like, you don't just get banned and you can see every... Once you get banned, your account cannot see... it on Twitch.tv, your account can no longer see the chat at all. The account that you were banned in is no longer in your followed streams. Like, you probably count as a follower still, but it's no longer there. Your IP is also shadow banned. So Jesus. That if you make another account and use the same IP, you can participate in chat, but nobody else can see your message.
Whoa.
So it's insane.
So no more, there were like PSAs going around on Twitter. Like no more joke perma banning people in chat. They're going to actually be like banned.
Yeah, they are fucking gone. There was a little bit of a scare. I was doing a little bit of research before this just to iron what the details were for Twitch banning. And there was a scare first day yesterday about people thinking that banning actually removed subscriptions. So like if people banned a sub of theirs, they actually took away money from themselves. So there was a little bit of a scare on that. Either that was real or it was updated so that it didn't do that. But that either wasn't a thing or is gone now. So that's kind of interesting. But just in general, Twitch banning being legit is really interesting.
But to be fair, I'm sure the more savvy trolls will just use a VPN and then get back on like with a different IP.
Yeah.
But still, it's pretty crazy. They're really... People have been either cheering for it or being like, oh, this is censorship. What the fuck?
Yeah.
I don't really care because I know I don't stream very much. So I'm not really not the best example of this. But when I did stream actively, I don't know if I've ever even permabanned someone in my chat. I always just like time people out.
Mm-hmm.
Like permaban seems pretty extreme. I feel like in the worst case scenario, maybe just like a week long timeout is the worst you got to go. Because honestly, like, I don't know, permaban, that just seems like an extreme measure no matter what it is. Unless it's like a spam bot.
I've definitely banned people. I don't know. I don't care sometimes.
It's just I only like, yeah, permaban accounts that I know are spam bots.
What was really funny is last night I was watching Mango stream, Mango the Melee player, and he learned about this ban thing. And he looked at it kind of the way I look at it, where it's just going to keep everybody somewhat just more controlled. Like people aren't going to be like fishing for a ban or anything like that. None of those weird like 12-year-old trolls. Well, maybe they'll still exist, but they'll be really punished for it.
Yeah, I think they'll still exist, like a martyrdom sort of deal.
Yeah, but it's just really funny to look at it like that. Like everybody's just kind of not. Everybody's scared a little bit, but not enough. And he fucking went insane on this. He was just like, call me fat now, because apparently there are people just like called Mango fat in his stream. So he's just like, call me fat now, pleb. And the first few, just like a bunch of monk S's in the chat and all that. Eventually, one guy said, you're fat. And he went, okay, what's his name? And one of his mods gave him his name. He banned him in his chat. He banned him in Plup's chat, Nun's chat, like every relevant Melee player's chat.
Oh my god.
and he went fucking hardcore. And I was like, holy shit.
Not
like,
fucking it around. It was
literally, call me I'm fat, I fucking dare you. And he did it, and he got banned from every relevant Melee stream. And he didn't go to VGBC, but somebody said VGBC at some point. I don't know if he actually did VGBC, but video game boot camp is the, like, you, if you can't see that in your followed streams, that sounds really bad.
I didn't hear about the following thing. I always thought it was just you couldn't see the chat anymore.
That's one I've heard. I don't know if that one's actually true, but I've heard that you get removed from the following page. Or they get removed from the following
page. That's crazy.
So that you can't even know if they're live. But this update's... this is the most hardcore banning of any social platform whatsoever. Like, they tried to make Twitch a social platform. People... you can have friends on Twitch. You can add friends on Twitch. They can add you back or whatever. I never got into that. I'll just stay with Discord with all my friends
on Twitch.
Yeah, I just kind of went, no, I'm not going to make this my... because the weird thing about making Twitch your main platform of choice for, like, social interaction is that everybody that's your friend knows where you are, like, what stream you're watching at one point.
It's super weird. Like, I don't want people to know what stream I'm watching.
Yeah, that's just too much. It's just like, oh, Sid's watching Mango or Barbarian King. Dude, every time on the podcast, I will never get his name right.
I really fucked you up with that name.
Or he's watching Grand Pooh Bear or whatever. Like, I don't want people to know that I'm watching whatever stream at one time.
Yeah,
them to come in and chat and be like, Sid, I know you're here. It's like, no, that sounds
weird.
At
least Twitter, you can't see what people are looking at.
Yeah, and on Discord, you can be like, yeah, I don't want people to know what game I'm playing. Or maybe I do. Who knows?
Well, I mean, you might want to. I don't know.
Yeah,
it depends.
Maybe. But you can turn it on and off. I don't know actually what you can do with Twitch, but I just don't want to touch it.
Maybe,
like,
you
as
can
a
turn it off on Twitch,
platform.
But I still don't trust it.
So. Yeah. But it's just interesting that they went, it's just like banning. Banning is so hardcore.
It
now.
Actually means and banning now.
Yeah, it legit does. For sure. And that's the last thing I have on my list to talk about, the Twitch banning.
And I'm glad you remember that, because I definitely saw that in my periphery. I didn't think much of it, probably because I'm not streaming much anymore, but it is pretty crazy. It's a huge... if they commit to that system, that's a pretty big shift in Twitch culture.
Yeah, I wrote down all my notes this week. I was all about it. I only wrote 5 things, but you know what? We've been going for an hour 25. Maybe
I'd
30,
say
we've
covered a fair bit.
Yeah. And you know what? At the end of the podcast last week, the small conversation we had, we're going to go for a year with the pod for sure.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's it. That's our goal. We're about halfway there.
You want to quickly cover that?
Yeah. So actually, after the last podcast we recorded with Reed, we had a little one-on-one moment where we're like, man, how long should we do this podcast? Because we're sort of in this together. It's much harder to quit a project when it's a cooperative venture than just like a solo thing. And we're not thinking of quitting anytime soon, but it comes up in the back of my head. It's like, how long do we do this? Because this could potentially go on forever, but I'm sure at some point we'll get burnt out. So, and then we agreed on, we will make it to 1 year, which is roughly... it's going to be like episode 50 because we missed 2 weeks. And at that point, we'll decide if the podcast goes on or not.
Yeah, and it was really interesting for Trey to bring... like, Trey brought it up. I was just... Reed left the call, and I was just sitting there going like, so, what'd you eat for dinner? Like, some bullshit like that. And yeah. Trey brought it up. I had not thought about, like, stopping the podcast. Like, in the back of my head, like, some weeks I haven't felt like doing it, but I've gone through with it anyway, and, like, it's been fine. It's not like I really despise the idea of doing it. I was just like, oh, I don't really feel like it. Fuck it. It's the thing that we do every week. But
and
I've never
then,
thought...
you know, you get into it, and you start enjoying it, probably, so...
yeah, but I've never thought outright, it's like, how long are we going to do this? Because you know what? I like my Saturdays, you know?
I always think that. I always think about what you think about it, to be honest.
Yeah, and... like that's what you were saying. Just like, I was just wondering what you thought of this, because, and I was just like, I don't know, I just thought we were gonna do it until we die. Yeah. I don't know, but
until we die,
not actually until we die, but I don't know, it was just an interesting thought to fly and I had not even thought, like, I didn't think the only thing I think of regarding the podcast in that way is just like, Trey does the editing, and like I do the recording. Like I record with Trey every Saturday, and I write a description at some point, except for the week, the cheese week. That's the only description I didn't write. Everybody complained to Trey about that description. It sucked.
Everyone said, "Dude, why is this cheese episode description so shitty? What the fuck?" Yeah. Oh, Trey
I looked at it and I was just like,
"The description. That's why it sucks."
Like this is total shit. But every other description I've done. But that's pretty much all I do. Trey re-listens to it while he's playing Animal Crossing now.
Yeah, previously it was SMSILs. Now it's just Animal Crossing. So,
and he had to edit out all of Reed's squeaky chair.
Actually, I kept some in for the comedy. But yeah.
Yeah. But like I don't do very much. Like sometimes he's just like, "Hey, should we get a guest?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And then he's just like, "Okay, I got cheese." And I'm just like, "Oh, okay, cool. I guess we're doing that episode." But I feel like I don't really do all that much other than recording the episode itself. And Trey's said multiple times, it's just like that's only piece of it. Like we can record every week, but like editing it all together and stuff,
it's not very hard to edit. It's mostly just listening back to it.
Yeah, it's
and
the
actually,
hardest part.
I'm sort of honing my thumbnail making skills through this process because I've made a unique thumbnail every single episode, and I feel like I'm learning the tricks of the trade with making a decent thumbnail each time. It's kind of fun.
When are you going to use Armada's face? when's that?
In the Armada
off?
Guest episode, of course.
Oh, dude, when he runs SM64.
And then the title's going to be Armada said what? He's just going to have like that dude, face in the thumbnail. So like...
Dude, after the Scar episode, we'll
oh,
have
yeah,
to have the Armada
We'll get
episode.
Every notable Melee player or Melee enthusiast, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, I just wanted to mention that.
If you're listening right now,
we're
at
gonna
this
go for
point in the episode, you're clearly a big fan, so we figured you wanted to hear this, so...
Yeah, we're gonna go for a year. That's our goal. 50
guaranteed.
Week 50 is gonna be not necessarily our last, but that's our goal for now.
And 50 episodes.
We might go further. We might stop there. I don't see us like
the key thing is if we feel like we're not evolving at all and we're sort of just regurgitating the same cycle of news and this topic and this topic every single time, then we may be like, yeah, maybe we could stop doing this. But if we feel like we've really like evolved our crafts and I don't know, things change and we feel like we're improving, then we could keep going with it. So we'll see.
Yeah. Right now, like all that conversation really inspired me to do was I'm like, you know what? I want to put more effort into the episodes where we either or like even the episodes with a guest. Or it's just
or
like
just in general.
I'm gonna think about that and be like, oh, maybe we should talk about that on the podcast. You know, because I feel like for the past, I don't know, 2 months, or maybe not 2 months, that's a lot of episodes, but like maybe for the past month, I've been just kind of like winging it, like sitting down and being like, oh, what do we have to talk about?
I mean, winging it
Your
can
update
be fun
for Piana
too,
6.
Because like sometimes we'll just think of the most random stuff and ends up being good, so.
Yeah, so it hasn't been inherently bad, but I just want to... Like when I thought of things, I was just like, you know what? I'm actually going to go back to my method of putting stuff in my memo pad and writing it down.
I think it definitely helped this episode. I didn't really have much apart from Animal Crossing and my work situation in the Piana 6 video. So
Twitch banning.
Yeah.
Twitch
is crazy.
Arms guy. Tetris 99 Invictus sucks.
Memo pad for
stuff.
The win.
Memo pad.
Anyways, they could probably wrap this up now.
Yeah, that was episode 24. I was just about to say, yeah, that was episode 24. All right, that was my wrap-up.
Sign us out, Sid.
I'm not going to be introducing next week. Trey's going to be introducing next week. We're on Google Play and Spotify. We might have a guest next week. I have a few people that we can ask from if we really needed it, but who knows? At this point, we don't know who the next guest is.
It's never guaranteed.
This is the end of the podcast. I'm Sid. He's Trey.
Peace out, everyone.
Peace out, everybody.